We do pertain to us, like Gary said, the things that we're learning from Sanger's teachings, Ken Petty, stuff in Colorado, is, you know, basically to manifest God's power. You can write it down, but you don't have to turn, because I'm going to read a different translation. It's John 20, verse 21, after Jesus came back and all that stuff, and disciples were behind closed doors because of fear of the Jews. Jesus Christ said this to them. He said, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, I am sending you out in my turn." And when I thought about that, it's our turn to do the acts of healing. You know, we're in Christ's place. It's our turn. Why aren't we doing it? Number of reasons. But when it comes right down to it, I kept on focusing. It's our turn to do the acts of healing. And 1 Peter 4:11 in your outline.
What's that last verse?
John 20:21. 1 Peter 4:11, are you called to be a speaker? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. When anyone is endeavoring to serve others, let him do so in reliance on the strength which the Father supplies. It's not our power. When everything comes right down to it, it's not our power. But it is our turn to manifest acts of healing, acts of kindness, acts of love, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning spirit. It's our turn to do this. Look at Philippians 2:13. That translation is good, but I got one better, G. For it is God himself whose power creates within you both the desire and the power to execute his gracious will. It's God and Christ in you. It's his power that he created in us to execute, to do his will. Brief scenario, scripture build up here. When you see, it says in your handouts, read Acts chapter 3, chapter 4. And when I thought about this, it was Peter's turn, once he received the Holy Spirit, to manifest the power of healing. When you go back to John chapter 20, and you look at verse 19, where was Peter behind closed doors? Come on back up, bring it up to Acts chapter 2, receiving the Holy Spirit. And then what did Peter do? He spoke boldly. He nailed everybody that thought they were drunk, that thought that what he was teaching was crazy. It reminded him what you put Jesus Christ through. And he kind of like basically put a stop to it. Hey, it ain't going to happen no more. And Peter realized the power that he had to manifest. And what did he do? What was the first thing that Peter did? Him and John, the guy at the gate, beautiful, spoke the word to him. Spoke the word to him. The man got healed. Everybody saw that miracle happen. But whose power was it? It was God's power that worked in Peter, but it was his turn to do that healing. I mean, because think about it. The man had been going to that temple for a minute. Then all of a sudden, Peter looked intently at him. That's what caught me with that verse. He looked at him. God will put somebody in your path to look at, in that crowd if you're teaching, or in a room, or just one-on-one, to look at. Revelation to look at. I mean, because if it's crippled, you're going to see that. But God will put a person in your path. You know, I really believe that from looking at the scriptures, how he works within a person. And that's what he did with that man at the gate, beautiful. Yeah, he wanted money, just like most of people do when limping or something. But he says, no, what I have to give, give I thee. You know, what are we supposed to do? Give people the word. When we give the word, Psalms 127:20, I believe it says, you sent his word and healed them. So we know that the word heals. Peter stood up there boldly, shot down all those people, says, no, you know, Jesus Christ, a man approved of God. You know, and then when the part in chapter 4, when you get there, him and John, and then the religious leaders say, hey, look, you know, yeah, this man has been crippled for a while, you know, and it is a miracle that he's, you know, he's gotten healed. And he goes, but we need to kind of like shut him up. So then they lock him up, right? Cool. You know, we're going to go through stuff. Like you, each one of you guys talked about challenges. We're going to go through stuff, you know. So what if they do lock us up? What if they do, like you said, with your family, they don't want to be around you because they want to, you know, they want to hear the word of God. So what? What did Peter say? We cannot help but speak the word of God, you know. And that's what we need to constantly do. Let's roll it to Acts chapter 5 in your handouts. Verse 12, at the hand of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number, to such an extent that they even carried the sick out in the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. But can you imagine that great word that Peter taught, the miracle with the guy with the gate temple, the boldness that Peter and John showed, and then also Peter and John prayed for more boldness, and then all of a sudden multitudes are coming around you to hear the word, like they did with Jesus Christ to hear the word when he first started his ministry. And then the least of Peter's shadow passing by them, these people's believing was up there that they would get healed. It was his turn to manifest that healing. And how did he do it? Believe the word. Listen to what Jesus Christ said. Believe in him. Hey, something better is going to come than what I have. That comforter did come. That Holy Spirit did come. Believe, and it just stood out of what he was taught that short period of time, that when Jesus Christ went from city to city to city, and then he manifested the power to heal somebody. And then now somebody's shadow, that power that works within Peter, the same power that works with us, that we can heal somebody. Can you imagine that? Somebody coming by you, CJ, and saying, CJ, just let me touch you, because, you know, I know you're beautiful. You know, what you say that I hear is true because it's the word of God. But if I can just touch you, I can be healed. That's the way that, you know, we should look at ourselves. It's available for us to do. Not, I mean, yes, we are sons and daughters, but we're sons and daughters with power. We need to manifest that power. Let's look at chapter 8 of Acts and 5. Little scripture build up, because it was working in my heart. When you look at 7, you see about Stephen before you get to 8 to 5. Let me get to chapter 8. Let's all turn to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 5. But when you look at chapter 7, when Stephen got stoned, he did the same thing like Peter. He was bold. He reminded them of Moses and how you guys mistreated him. He reminded how you always stiff-necked. He reminded how you always had Jewish leaders. But what thing that really stuck out with me when I read that, especially when you get towards the end, I think in verse 50 or 51, it says, you stiff-necked people, you uncircumcised. He just called them on the carpet and told them, hey, it ain't going to happen no more. You know, Stephen was so convinced of what he was speaking was the word of God. And then what happened to him? Start stoning him to death. And the neatest thing, because anybody throw a stone at me, boy, we taking off. We going down. You know, I ain't going to look up at Jesus Christ. And he said, he looked up at heaven and he saw God and he saw the windows had opened. He saw Jesus Christ standing there, and he said, do not lay this to their charge. I'm going to say, I'm kicking your butt if you stone, you know, if you throw a rock at me. But, I mean, look at the love that he had for God, for God's people, you know, to be in that frame of mind. But the interesting part was even more so interesting. Paul was there. And then Paul said, you know, like, hey, do it. You know, he consented to it. He didn't have no ifs, buts about do it, because he's not teaching who he's supposed to be teaching about. He's talking about a God and this and Jesus. No. But the neatest thing about that, here comes Philip. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now, can you imagine that mind frame? Because I'm sure, Philip, you had to hear about it, because you know, when we have hot Bible, hot fellowships, people tell everybody. You know, and you go around that area. There ain't that big. You know, but Philip had to see that. See, Paul consent to Stephen's death, you know, or at least hear about it. But then what did he do? Still spoke the word, still performed miracles, people still got healed, and there was great joy. Didn't stop. No matter what. The person I think of in this room is Gary. Lost his wife. Still hasn't stopped. Still teaching us the word. Still encouraging us. Rise up. That song, rise up, old man of God. You know? That's what we need to do, no matter what the situation. Look at the situation, line it up with the word, keep on moving. Keep on moving, because it's your turn to manifest healing. It's your turn to do all nine all the time. Let's look at Acts 9, chapter 9. Verse 10 to 17, real quickly. Yes. Everybody there? And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my names before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then Ananias went his way. Now the thing that got me about this, you think about it. At different times when, you know, you either bummed out and you want, you know, you want to hear some good thing, and sometimes you ain't, nobody's on the phone, you can't reach them, and then here comes God talking to you. But here's Jesus Christ talking to you and say, hey, here's a guy down there that loves killing you believers, but I want you to go see him. Most of us say, not me. You know, I think about that when I was in Alaska, and me and another believer quit witnessing, and we hit this other little boy. And then I got out of the car first, and God says, send people away, sent them away. And he says, pray for people. Pray for them. So I did pray for them. He told me exactly what to say. He says, in the name of Jesus, he said, say in the name of Jesus Christ, boy, get up. And I said that. He says, say it again. And when he said, say it again, the way that he says it again was with conviction. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, boy, get up. That boy got up. I didn't get scared, you know what I'm saying, because I knew that it was an accident. But yet, if it wasn't an accident, I'd probably been scared. Somebody, you know, but I would, you know, But you think about it. Sometimes when we get scared, when God's talking to us to do something. Now here's a guy that, like I said, he was a murderer. He loves killing believers. But look what he did. He answered the call. He stood up to the challenge. And what I like about this verse, he said that healing was different in the fact that he said exactly what Jesus Christ told him to say. And he did what Jesus Christ told him to do. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received his sight and arose and was baptized, and he was baptized with that Holy Spirit. But that was so neat. He did what Jesus Christ wanted to do, even though he had fear first. But when you know that God and Christ is with you, and you know that God talking to you, in some cases Jesus Christ talked to you, in this case it was, then you will do what they tell you to do, as I did when God told me to, you know, to pray, to minister, whatever, to do what I was supposed to do for that boy, praying that boy's life back, because he was dead. Let's look at verse 32 in chapter 9. It's in your handout. 32, it says, and I kind of like labeled this, just say it with conviction. And it came to pass, as Peter passed around all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Saran saw him and turned to the Lord. But he did what he said. Peter said it with conviction, get up. And sometimes that's all we need to do. You know, the written word is our greatest revelation, and it's also so good when God is telling you just to confirm everything. You know, but he said it with conviction, and that's what we have to do if we're in a situation. Work, job, walking down the street, whatever, train, plane, whoever, with conviction. God puts that person there for you to minister to. With conviction, say what you need to say. Each record is going to be different. Each person is going to be different because that's the way it's designed. Let's look at verse 36 of that, because the way that I have it, nothing wrong with praying first, and we're going to see Peter do this. Make sure I'm in the right chapter. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and almsdeeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into an upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And sometimes in every situation, God needs you to put a person out of the room. Don't be hesitant. You know, don't be hesitant, because that's what you need to do. And then I like the idea that he prayed at one point. I mean, it's so neat that these, like if you look at Acts, you can see that the word just had to have been spreading. The people hear about it, you know, because they knew where Peter was, sent for him. He came, didn't hesitate, you know, and then he goes there. But then he kneels down and pray. Now, that's interesting, because Acts chapter 3, what did Peter do? Start nailing him, minister to the guy got healed. So you know he wasn't scared to minister to nobody, but a different situation, different time. But it's still God working in him to manifest the power of healing. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, tenderly said, pay attention when teaching, and Father will show you somebody. So let's look at chapter 14. Verses 8 and 9 of Acts. Talking about the Apostle Paul now. Everybody there? And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mom's womb. The same heard Paul speak, said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet and leap up and walk. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lift up their voice, saying in the speech of Laconian, well, we don't want to say that the gods are with them, but when the people had saw, that was so neat. But Paul said with a loud voice, stand up and walk. We can do that. It's available for us to do that. It's our turn. We need to do this, you know. We're in Christ's place. We should be holding forth the word. God made available for us to have this written word. We need to do it. Acts chapter 19, verses 8 to 12. This reminds me of a story Alan was telling me on the way in the car. But his story was... the lady died, but because Alan, how'd that story go? About the lady that you said that tell him the story, because this kind of reminds you of this.
She called herself Christian, and their floods were coming. So somebody came to the door and said, "The floods are coming. Come on, you know, I have a car. Let's go." She said, "No, I'm going to wait on the Lord." And so then the floods came. And so somebody came by with a boat, you know, and said, come on, get in the boat. The flood was here. She said, no, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Then the flood came all the way up to the top of the building. And so she was on the top of the roof, and a helicopter came and said, come on, the floods are here. She said, no, I'm going to wait for the Lord. Well, she died. And the moral of the story is that God sends you many opportunities, so you have to take advantage of
it. And see, and the whole thing when I think about when I read this with Paul, is that sometimes we want stuff so quickly. We have to be patient, like Alan said, be anxious for nothing, you know, and let God do what God wants to do, and we just be blessed by it, and of course be thankful. Verse 8, Paul, he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrote special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. And that is like Peter, the shadow. Now, some of the translation of this, it's like blew me away. On verse 12 it says, so that the people would carry home to the sick handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his body. So anything that was any part of Paul's clothing, these people believed that they would get healed. Peter's shadow, people walking by him just whiff of that shadow, they would get healed. Man, that's power. That's God.